In our gospel reading today, Jesus observes guests jockeying for position at the table. He uses the opportunity to teach his hearers to choose humility rather than self-exaltation. Jesus also makes an appeal for hosts to imitate God's gracious hospitality to those in need. A reading from Luke, the 14th chapter. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you were invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you were invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Hey, guys. It's okay. So, one of my favorite Sundays, while I was in seminary, I got to lead worship at two small churches. One of them was in Toronto, Iowa, and the other one was in Big Rock, Iowa. Well, usually I went by myself. Jan went to worship in Dubuque with the three boys, but one Sunday she came with. And middle son was being a handful. So she took middle son out in the midst of the service. Oldest son followed after her. Youngest son sat there, and all of the sudden he started to snivel. And he ran up to me and jumped into my arms. And you know what? A sermon got preached even in the midst of that. There is nothing wrong with having kids that do what kids do. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior Jesus the Christ. There's a whole bunch of watching going on in this text today from the Gospel of Luke. The text begins with an ominous word, "And they were watching him." The "they" were the folks, probably the religious leaders there in the temple in this setting for the meal. Jesus has done some really offensive things, like healing on the Sabbath. We talked about that last week, this woman who had been bound for 18 long years, and he had the audacity to heal her. And here we are on another Sabbath. He's invited to dinner at the home of a religious leader, a Pharisee, and they are watching him. What's he going to do on this Sabbath? So it makes me think, what's it look like? What's it mean? If we were being watched, what should we be doing? What does it look like to be a person who lives their faith? I think sometimes we can get caught up in the idea that it is huge acts. You've got to figure out a way to start a nonprofit that feeds every person in the community, or figure out a way to overcome the homeless situation in this community by starting a place that can help people get back up on their feet. Those are great things. They're really important. But I think it's simpler than that, because it can feel really overwhelming to enter into these huge problems that are around us and be able to fix them. But what might it look like if we just begin to do the things, the simple things? A story. A grandfather died extremely unexpectedly. It was a shock to the entire family. They gathered at a chapel, and after the service, the grandmother walked out of the chapel. She was alone. 14-year-old grandson followed quickly after her, didn't say a word, just continued to walk about a step behind her with his hand on her shoulder, rubbing it. That is living faith. That is caring for another who is in the depths of pain and grief, even when you're in the same place. Another story. A young boy shows up in a new school. He is a ninth grader. Small town, everybody knows everybody. He's the outsider, and pretty soon, the vultures of the class begin to pick on him. A girl in senior high hears about it. She's very popular. She goes to the group of vultures and tells them if they don't knock it off, they'll have to deal with her. She was a spitfire. She could have cleaned all three of them up. That is living your faith. It is really that simple. And the truth is, people are watching. Those of us who confess and profess to be followers of the risen Christ are watched. People want to know if we really live what we believe. Do we treat others with grace and mercy and love? And the truth is, at least I fail sometimes. But I try to ground myself and remind myself that we and me have been given incredible gifts through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Gifts of grace and mercy, gifts of love that I don't deserve. And so, what might it look like to pass that love on to others? Once upon a time, I flew into Chicago. It was for a week-long meeting. I got to the spot where your luggage is supposed to come out, and I watched the belt. And I watched the belt, and I watched the belt, and my luggage didn't come out. So I went to the little office, which was right next to this luggage belt. There was an African-American woman there. I told her my problem. She said, "How long are you going to be in town, honey?" I said, "It's going to be about a week." "Oh, that's a long time to run around naked." And we laughed together. And then she entered in to help me figure out how I could get my luggage back. And later that day it arrived at the hotel. Humor, grace, serving others in the places that we live and in the places that we work are so essentially important. The people were watching Jesus. What was he going to do this time? And if you really think about the text that's in front of us, he was a little bit offensive. To look at the people who are jockeying for position at the table, and then to begin to comment, Put yourself in this place. You are one who has come to the dinner party. You have seen people looking for their places. You saw who sat at the head of the table. And Jesus calls it out. Go sit at the lowest spot. And if the host wants to call you higher, well, then that'll be an honor. But it'll be really embarrassing if you get asked to step down. And then Jesus has the audacity to go to the one who is giving the dinner party and say to him, you know what? I think that your list of guests is a little bit inadequate. If you're going to throw a party, invite those who can't pay you back. Invite the poor, the broken in spirit. Invite those who are of lower standing than you, those who aren't able to work because they're blind or lame or crippled. Invite those because they can't pay you back. We are called to a kind of living that is completely different. We shouldn't be surprised. Remember, we've talked about the fact before that the Gospel of Luke is a gospel where the world is turned upside down. It begins at the very beginning of the gospel in the first chapter when Mary is told that she is going to give birth to the very Son of God. She begins praising God and she says, God has sent the rich away empty. He's lifted up the poor, sent the others away with nothing. Read the Magnificat toward the end of the first chapter of Luke. It is this incredible turning upside down of the world, and now Jesus is saying, if you are going to be a follower of mine, be humble. Don't look for benefits out of this way of life. Just care for others. Don't expect something in return. Just care for others. Be the one who will go out of your way to love and to show grace and to show mercy. That's what we're invited into. Again and again and again throughout scriptures, there are examples of this kind of living. The story of the widow who at the temple puts in a couple of small coins worth about a penny. Jesus calls her extremely faithful because she has just put in absolutely everything that she has. Meanwhile, if you read just before that story in the Gospel of Mark, you will see a group of rich religious folks giving a little bit out of their abundance. Jesus is drawing a contrast between the two, the faithfulness of this widow, the faithlessness of this other group. A call from 1 Corinthians that we would be the kind of people, if you read in the first chapter of the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul talks about the fact that he has been sent to proclaim the cross, not with eloquent words. Because if he had eloquent words, the power of the cross would be lost. So Paul proclaimed as he could, and others came to faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to a kind of living that cares for others first, that looks at them as beloved children of God and serves them. May you use your hands, your heart, your tongue to care for others. Thanks be to God. Amen.